Rob Has a Podcast is made possible in part thanks to the patrons of RHAP that allow me to jam up your phone with podcasts. Well, you know where this is going. To find out more about the benefits of becoming a patron, visit robhasawebsite.com/patron or click on the banner at the top of robhasawebsite.com. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's a guy who wasn't even getting it done at 31, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast voicemail edition, last voicemail show of the season. And we've got a great one here because my great friend, Bryce Isaiah, will be joining us. He was here for the first voicemail of the season. He's back to close it out in style. Very excited for the Purple Pants Badass to be back with us today. Of course, we've got a lot more coming out of last night's show and then also previewing the finale. Stephen Fishback and I were live with the Know-It-Alls. I had my exit interview with Joe Del Campo. I thought Joe was actually very good on the exit interview, and I think that that's a fun one if you haven't listened to that. And then, of course, the winner of Survivor Cambodia, Jeremy Collins, joined us on the recap show. Definitely check that all out at robhasawebsite.com. Also, last night it was announced that Stephen Fishback and now Josh Wiggler are going to be joining us at Run It Up Reno coming up here in a couple of weeks with myself, Boston Rob, Tyson, Anna Kate. So that's going to be a very fun event if you are going to be in the Reno area or want to come out to the Peppermill Resort for Jason Somerville's event. You can find out more information at runitupreno.com. All right, everybody. I am very excited to bring in our guest. I don't think we've ever done this before, other than maybe Nicole might have this honor of being a two-time voicemail guest in the same season. But one of the benefits of having them on early was that we could get him back on late with us to bookend this season. Here he is, the Purple Pants Badass, Bryce Isaiah.
Hey, what's going on?
Yes.
I never get used to that intro. I'm always talking when you playing. Hey.
Yes. Doesn't have to be neat.
No,
it's not going to be neat today. It wasn't neat for Joe.
Not at all. And I am praying for that bathroom water. When he got back to Ponderosa, listen, he blew it up.
Well, Bryce, this was really, you're the perfect person here to have on today to bookend this season, because back in the beginning of the season, back in the first week, we talked about a guy who couldn't wait to use the bathroom.
And right now, my gut tells me, go use the bathroom.
What? That's such perfect symmetry.
Listen, it starts with the bathroom and it ends with the bathroom. One is a little more looser, the other one is a little more tighter.
And also, you're the perfect person to talk about this with, because back in Survivor Cagayan, that you discussed what it was like for the survivors back, I believe it was on the premiere night with Jeffra, who was an expert in all of this.
Are y'all urinating a lot? I know we're not pooping,
maybe,
but are y'all
once,
peeing?
Maybe
like
once a day.
Maybe once a day. That cannot be good for us.
That cannot be good.
Not at all. Oh, that just took me back.
Are y'all urinating a lot?
Yeah. That's important also.
She literally asked that like every 20 minutes. She would be like, y'all, I haven't gone to the bathroom today yet. Girl, it's 6 in the morning. Nobody has.
Yeah, all right. Well, you needed somebody like Jeffra to check in on Joe and sort of like, hey, Joe, what's going on here? You know, they would have had the doctor there faster.
Right.
All right. So before we get into the Survivor stuff, I want to catch up and hear what you've been up to. You know, I follow you on Snapchat. I saw that you were training forever to be in this big marathon, and then you finally did it. How was that?
It was like the most amazing experience. It's the Broad Street Run. It's like the biggest 10 miler in the United States. And so I never thought I would be able to do it. And so like training for it and getting ready and actually doing it, it was crazy. It was amazing. It rained the whole day. So I was wet, felt like I was back on Survivor, you know, dodging these hoes. But yeah, it was so much fun. I'm like, can't wait. Now I'm like looking to do a half marathon, and then I want to do a whole marathon. So I'm so excited.
What got you into running marathons?
Well, I just have been a runner. Like for maybe for like the past 5 years, I just like kind of started running. It's like my therapy. Like I can meditate. Well, not meditate, but when I run, I'm so calm in my mind. I can like problem solve. And wow. So I never really thought that like I could be a runner. And then like, you know, after 1 mile, 2 mile, 3 mile, 4 mile, 5 mile, 6 mile, it really kind of like kind of stuck with me. And then, you know, Val, she was running, Jeremy's wife was like running while she was pregnant. And I saw her one day. I'm like, girl, how do you do that? So she's always giving me little tips on like how to like take my running to the next level. So, you know, I guess I'm a runner, guys, the purple pants runner.
Purple pants runner. All right. Well, I'm really glad that you are not running a marathon today and you're here with us as we are at the end of another marathon season of Survivor.
That it is. That it is.
All right. Before we get into the voicemails, I just want to get your take on a couple of things. So last week on the show, I spoke with Mike Bloom on the voicemail show, and he said that he felt like the second Brains versus Beauty versus Braun has surpassed the original. I told him I disagreed with that opinion, but I just wanted to know, had you heard that from anybody?
Child, please, no. Okay, Kagyan is sitting nice and pretty. If this was the Game of Thrones, Kagyan is sitting like... who can I put? Kagyan is sitting. What's the guy that just killed his dad?
Spoilers.
Sorry. Oh my god, that was last. That was like 2 episodes ago. But listen, Kagyan is sitting as high as Daenerys sat on the top of the dragon when they put her out of the thing. A majiki. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So please, this season can't touch Kagyan at all.
Don't pick me, boo.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Now we did have some good one-liners. Like, to me, Kagyan still reigns supreme.
Okay, so now, as we head into now the final four, do you have a horse in the race in terms of, is there one person in particular that you really like out of this group?
So this is a hard decision if I have a couple of minutes to explain, like, what my mind thought is. So I really like Aubrey. I think Aubrey has been playing a great, like, after she got over her panic attack, got her inhaler and breathed and was able to color with her crayon, she really got her mind into the game. And Aubrey has been like making power moves after power moves after power moves. So Aubrey is definitely like high on my list. Second on my list is definitely my girl Sydney, because it's like she kind of came alive after the merge. Pre-merge, I'm like, who is this girl? She not even talking. And then after the merge, Sydney came alive. And what I like about Sydney is Sydney didn't have an army. Sydney had herself. And Sydney would peep something and speak on it and then like affect how things would happen. And so I can respect that as a former player and as a watcher of the show. It's like, you know, Sydney would see something, call him out on it, and then go talk to other people. And then my girl, Michelle, like Michelle hasn't made like major moves in the game. What Michelle has done in the game is like simply survive. And that's harder than it like appears. It's like, you know, to maneuver who to align with, to be in an alliance where like people literally don't think anything of you and you kind of stay and take it and then you flip at the right time. So that has its own like mechanism to do that. And then of course, Ty.
She's like your local favorite, right, Michelle?
Right. I love Michelle. But, like, I just, like, in my opinion, my two biggest people are, like, Sydney and Aubrey. Now, I love Ty. Don't get me wrong. But I don't really feel like Ty has been playing his own game. Ty has been, like, kind of not so much riding the coattails. But Ty has been, like, what's the word? Like, Ty hasn't really been making decisions. He's kind of, like, been, like, letting Jason and them make decisions for him and going along with them. And then, so, like, I love Ty, don't get me wrong. But I'm, like, my favorite two have to be Sydney and Aubrey at this point. And then Michelle rounds out my final three.
Okay, so Ty is at the bottom, which is what he said that last night.
Correct.
Is it possible, if I'm reading between the lines, are you throwing shade at Ty because I follow you on Twitter, you hate Mark the Chicken?
So, listen, I didn't think we was going to go here, but if we want to go here today, Rob, my issue with Mark the Chicken is how the hell does he have more camera time than I did on my actual season? I mean, they get Mark the Chicken waking up. They get Mark the Chicken eating. They get Mark the Chicken running around in circles. Like, that, like, you hit a nerve with me right now. Like, I don't get it. Like, what do I have to come back as a chicken suit, like, to get some camera time? Like,
oh
I'm confused.
God, look at a chicken.
Yeah. On another difference between the two Brains versus Beauty versus Braun, on the original Brains versus Beauty versus Braun, you didn't have to have real animals, that you had the survivors had to be the animals.
Okay. We had Tony was a number of things, but the llama, the crazy chick, we didn't have those animals. Tony was all of them.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's start to dive into some of these voicemail questions that we have for you. And, you know, way back in the beginning of the season, we had no idea how this was all going to turn out when we first spoke back in February. And now here we are. It's the middle of May, heading into the middle of May. So Jonathan from Orlando has this question that we need to know.
Hey, Rob and Purple Pants badass Bryce Isaiah. This is Jonathan from Orlando. So, Bryce, seeing as we are in the final stretch of the season and have gotten an opportunity to see all 18 contestants play, who gets the award for the freakiest freak of the season? Thanks for taking my call. Bye.
Man. That.
Okay. It's a good question. We need to know.
That, I mean, I think it's... Hey. So, I mean, after much deliberation and much thought about this, because, you know, my Twitter fingers get hot, but I think the freakiest person, the freakiest freak of this season is very clear. She happens to be a local neighbor of mine in the great state of Pennsylvania, but I'm going to have to go with my girl, Debbie, okay?
Debbie,
first of all, she was out there giving Pretty Nikki the Greek goddess. She was going after what she wanted. She was a sex therapist. She out there doing push-ups, pull-up. Like, I mean, it's my girl, Debbie. She's absolutely the freakiest freak of this season, in my opinion.
Damn, Debbie.
All right. So congratulations to Debbie, the freakiest freak. Was there anybody else that was in the running? Was it close?
I mean, there were a couple of close runner-ups in regards to, I mean, for some reason, like, you know, Scott was in the mix for being the freakiest freak just because, you know, some of his antics. And then Peter, I thought about Peter for a little bit. And then there was even...
What did Peter do?
Well, I mean, I just, you know, from my own personal reasons, I just kind of put Peter in there just because, you know, Peter looked a little easy on the eyes when he don't open his mouth. So Peter could just get the honorary Freakiest Freak Award.
Okay. What about the people left in the game? Is there somebody that is a second runner-up?
That's left in the game for the Freakiest Freak?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, my natural thing, well, probably, well, I would have to go to Ty because he kissing people in the mouth, you know? And then he kissed Pop-Pop Joe like 7 times before he left. So, I mean, it would have to go to, like, you know, my honorary girlfriend, Ty.
Do you think there's too much kissing on this season? I know that's something that people are talking about a lot.
I mean, I don't think so. I mean, when you're out there, you become like family to these people. Like, you're like eating, pooping, peeing, sleeping, snoring next to them. So, I mean, the more kisses, the better. I mean, you're talking about the freakiest freak here. So,
yeah. All right. Well, good to know. Congratulations to Debbie. You know, this is a very serious honor that, you know, even on the RHAP wiki, they do track this, who the freakiest freak is every single season. So this is a real legacy for yes. Debbie to be a part of now.
I hope she carries on the torch, and I hope, you know, she got that bathing suit hanging up somewhere. that I mean, we should have known that from that tiger bathing suit. Like, really? Come on.
Yes. Here you go. All right. So let's take another question, and let's go to Matt from Brooklyn, who asks a question about Pop Joe.
What's up, Rob? What's up, Bryce? Matt from Brooklyn here. Question. If Joe doesn't get medevaced, is he the goatiest goat who ever goated? Love the show. Keep up the good work.
All right. What do you think about this idea? That was Joe headed to be this ultimate goat in the finals, do you think?
If I could, absolutely. So here's my take on Joe. Like, I oftentimes will have to forget that Joe was 71 years old and that, like, you know, he's like my grandfather's age. And so, like, I was like super hard on him, like yelling at the TV, like, come on, Joe. Like, you know, he's walking. But like when they're all doing the challenges and stuff, he's like walking to the thing and like taking his time. But I had a theory, and I was talking to my little cousin, who's like a Survivor fanatic. Mm-hmm. He would have been a goat that, like, I would have not wanted to take, because I really feel like he would have got that sympathy vote. Like, he would have been like Bob Crowley. He would have been like Bob, even though Bob really was putting in work on his season. And not that Joe wasn't putting on his. Joe was putting in work the first 3 days. After that, Joe was laying out and drinking water and just cooling. But, like, he would have got that sympathy vote, the fact that he made it this far, and he really could have possibly won. So, although he was a GOAT by all of the word and the definition, but he had to go anyway. I would have thought that he would have needed to go tonight anyway, because Ty had the idol.
Yeah, but who do you feel like he could have beaten in the end?
I mean, he could have gave Michelle a run for her money. I mean,
Bob was up against two of the other, like, unlikeliest and unlikable other players. Nobody liked Susie or Sugar. I mean, I feel like that even come up with the combination here of, I mean, who's Joe got in the end?
I'm thinking if I was Joe, I would have took Michelle and Sydney. Because I don't know if it's probably going to be a final two.
Probably.
But he could have got, like, I mean, like, you figure Jason, you figure
Scott. No, Jason and Scott didn't like Joe.
They would have voted for Joe if it was Sydney, because you know how they felt. Well, first of all, they never spilled tea with Sydney. So
yeah, but Jason tried to vote. He voted for Joe last week because he said that was the guy that he didn't think deserved it.
Well, listen, he could have still got the sympathy vote. In my opinion.
I do think he could have gotten a couple of votes. I don't think that to call him the goatiest goat of all time, like that's like somebody who would not get any votes under any circumstances. Even Phillip got a vote.
But no, and what I also mean by the goatiest goat of the goat is that, like, the goat isn't also measured by how many votes you get at the end. The goat is also measured about, like, are you brought along this season? And Joe had, like, no opinion in regards to who's going home. Like, Joe would just say, tell me what it is, baby girl, and I'm a vote. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so that also contributes to my standard of the goatiest goat, because it's like he never stood up and was like, you know what? Bryce got to go tonight. I got to get Bryce out. He never campaigned for anybody. He was just like, whatever you want, baby girl. I got, like, you know what I mean? And, like, to me, like, I know you're older and, like, you're tired, but I'm going to need
you to talk about me, right?
No, not talking about you. Okay. Yes, talk about Joe. I mean, but he could, like, I just felt like he wasn't playing the game. He literally was just laying out. So that's my take on it.
All beef, Joe's all beef.
He's all beef. But I don't think that was necessarily Joe's, like, just whatever it is, just tell me. Like, I don't think he was somebody who was like, you tell me the name and I'll write it down, because there were times where Aubrey did tell him what to do and he's like, no, we're not doing that. I'm not doing that. You know, with Peter, when she wanted to vote against Peter and he's like, well, that's a brain. We can't do that.
I'm going to have to discredit you on that one, but wasn't Peter trying to get Joe, and then didn't Joe interrogate him? This is what I mean. It's like his senses were off. Like, he just wanted to keep somebody because they were a brain. Although Peter actively campaigned, like, he wasn't making any type of moves. Like, that just solidifies my goatiest goal.
Yeah. So you feel like because he was sort of entrenched as, this is my group, I'm sticking with the brains all the way to the end, I can't flip to go to a different alliance.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't, I don't feel like he understood the concept of the game. And don't get me wrong, I get his background as being a Marine specialist. Like, you gonna stick with your core five, but, like, it's like Survivor. And I don't want anybody to misconstrue. I love pop Mr. and my Sydney voice, Mr. Joe. I love Mr. Joe, but I'm just saying, like, as somebody watching his character on TV, like, he really could have, like, been a snake in the grass and really made these power moves.
Okay, well, let's take another question about the challenge that Joe won. And this is from Henry in New York, talking about this challenge from last night.
Hey, Rob, it's Henry from New York. And I'm just wondering, what the hell was with the arbitrary rule in the challenge of only being able to throw the sandbags once? Has that ever been a thing? I don't remember it being, but whatever. Thanks. Love the podcast. Bye.
So what did you think about this challenge last night where you had to go out and you get like bags of sandbags and then you have to throw them and then you're not allowed to go get them until everybody else finishes? That did seem like a weird rule that I've never seen in 32 seasons of Survivor in a game.
Absolutely. And then I was confused. So after Joe threw, if he didn't say, like, let's say he didn't make the last one, they all would have just ran out and got all their sandbags and like ran back to the thing and just threw them all again.
I don't know if they were going to put more bags of sandbags back like on the ladder where they were going to have a race again to go and get them. I don't know exactly what would have happened, but
I kept thinking, because I'm like, Joe's not going to get this. So I was like, kept being like, what the hell is going to happen here? But yeah, that was very weird and very like, I was confused. And then of course for Joe to make his last one of the last,
he's like Steph Curry,
right? I listen, hey, and I'm like, Riley, I got my eye on you guys. Yeah, I like that was like, go ahead, pop Joe. But yeah, that was weird. I was trying to figure that out. I didn't understand it. And then I'm like, and you know, normally the challenges are, you got to get all, like in my Jeff voice, you got to get all of the bags and bring them to the table before you can open them. So when I saw Sydney run back and she like opened it, I'm like, no, Sydney, girl. This was confusing. I didn't know what was going on.
The only thing that I could think of that's anything like this in Survivor history is the times where they have like a challenge where you have to make a fire and everybody has like the same fire making kit and you have matches. And then it's like, oh, okay, so-and-so is down to their last match. And I guess if everybody was out of matches, that they would give you more matches to start a fire. But this seems like I never seen anything like this before with throwing stuff.
Yeah, I was confused. Like, and that's what I'm saying. Like, are they actually going to run out to where the sandbags are and collect them? And then just like, yeah, it was weird. I couldn't understand that. But I was cracking up when Papa Joe went back to go get his last bag. I mean, they made it seem like it was 25 minutes. They had Aubrey dancing, Sydney stretching, Ty just looking like Ty. And like, I'm like, y'all, don't do my pop like that, okay?
What, you think he was back quicker? You think they made it look longer?
I do. Like, because the way they edited it, it made it seem like...
See, I feel like that they tried to speed it up because they didn't want to make it seem boring.
No. Rob, that's shady. No way they tried to speed it up. They tried to make Pop-Pop Joe look like he was crawling back. Okay. They got Aubrey dancing, like Sydney stretching. Like, no. They tried to make it look like he just was like done in.
Why? Because they wanted to set up that he was going to get medically evacuated and he was like slowing down.
Right. And they've been doing that all season with him spelling immunity wrong. Like, they didn't have to show us that he like spelled it the same way.
You don't
want to
see that if he spells it wrong so many times?
I mean, the first time would have been fine enough. They could have like got, they could have panned back to Sydney doing the moonwalk back on her thing. So yeah, I think they've been setting my pop-up up all season.
Now, at what point did you know this was going to turn out badly for him at this reward challenge?
Well, first of all, let me just say this whole season, I really believe Sydney is like a member of the X-Men. Like, okay. She has like a mutant power because she she can call everything. So I knew it was going to be an issue when Sydney, let me put my Sydney voice on. She was like, yeah, Mr. Joe eating that steak. And, you know, in my past experiences, I didn't have problems when I ate steak like that. So Mr. Joe going to have a problem. And that's when I was like, oh, no.
Yeah. What experiences was she talking about that she said? She knew she suspected something was going to go wrong. I want to get your take on this, because this is something that I have pulled for the show. So I always like to go and check out what people are saying on the Survivor Facebook page, on the CBS Facebook page. And so they have a post up there of a catch up on last night's Survivor to see the latest curveball of the season. And there's a top comment which has 432 likes at the moment. Okay. So you know it's going to be good when it has over 400 likes on the CBS Survivor Facebook page. And a woman named Christy Bartram wrote, "Sydney knew he was going to have issues as she watched him down all that beef. She didn't say a word. I like her, but she should have educated him since she knows so much about nutrition. Poor guy." Are you saying, Bryce, that Sydney knew what was going to happen to Joe and consciously made the decision to not say anything so that he would be taken out of the game and she would be one step closer to the money?
So part one of the question, yes, I believe Sydney knew what was about to clog up somebody's intestines. Yes.
I was like, ooh.
Yes, don't jump at me, boo. Yes, I believe she knew because, you know, she is very into fitness. However, Sydney has been very respectful of her elders, so she would have been in no place to tell Pop Joe to put down the meat and squat one out real quick. So, no, I don't think that she didn't say anything to Joe, because at this point, since y'all saying Joe was the GOAT, then why would she want Joe to go out?
Yeah. Well, I do think that based on, that conversation that they had, that she would think that, okay, well, this is my final three right here. I have this final three with Aubrey and Joe and myself as Sydney. So I think that she would probably want to keep Joe in the game. I think that maybe, first off, that what she said about, oh, I knew Joe was going to have a problem, I think that that confessional was probably recorded at the point Joe was having problems. Issues. I don't think that she knew exactly what was going to happen and then called that shot and then went ahead and, like, I think that they probably, like, at the point he's already sick when she's talking about that.
I mean, I don't know, because even prior to Sydney even saying that, when he was like, I don't normally eat meat, but this looks good. Like, and he started downing them. I'm like, oh, like I even thought that. So I beg to differ, because Sydney has been spot on with her mutant power. And that, I mean that in a positive way, not a negative way. She's been spot on, like when Ty and Aubrey walked back and she was like, that looked like a type of walk back of you come right. Like, she knew that. When Jason, when they was talking to the little girl, when it was like, not when they sent Nick to go talk to Michelle, she spotted that dead on. Like, what are they sending the guys to spot on? So she's been great.
She's been great. But I don't think that she is so good that she knew. She's like evil person where she's watching an old man eat 3 feet of meat.
Jeff, I will tell you what it was. I haven't eaten meat. I don't eat meat. And they had these steak kebab things. I've eaten 3 feet of it.
Wow. Man. No, I don't think she knew to the point that he would get, like, taken out the game. I think she knew to the point where he was going to be out in that ocean like Darnell. For a couple of hours.
Why? And you think that she was just like, I have to respect his privacy? Like, I wouldn't do that, but, you know, it's his body. He could do whatever he wants.
Right. Okay. I mean, if Pop-Pop want to eat 3 feet of steak skewers, Pop-Pop going to eat 3 feet of steak skewers. I don't think she thought it was going to be to the point where, like, he was going to be taken out. I just thought he was going to be, like, congested, and they might have to stick a finger up there. Like, I just thought, like, she knew we were headed into troubled waters.
Troubled waters, indeed.
Yes.
So I reject this, though, that there was any wrongdoing on her part.
Yeah, like, yeah, that doesn't make sense. What's her last name? Bartram Bagger.
Yeah. I reject that idea.
Sydney
did not consciously try to take Joe out by not saying anything.
Yeah, I mean, and what would have Stane would have done it, he would have already consumed the meat. So, yeah, I reject that as well, too.
Let's take another question. This is from one of our listeners. Chris wants to talk about Ty.
Hey, Rob and Bryce, it's Chris from Mississippi. Is Ty drawing dead at this point, or is there someone still left in the game that he can beat? I feel like Joe may have been his last chance at a victory. Certainly he would not be able to beat Aubrey or Sydney, and based on the way the edit has gone, I don't think he would beat Michelle either. Love to hear your thoughts.
Okay. What was his name again?
This is Chris.
Chris, what show have we been watching? Like, I feel like Ty can beat all three of those girls.
Yeah, this is interesting because even when we were talking right before we came on, you said that you think that Ty is getting this great hero edit where I feel like a lot of people have said that is Ty the villain of this season. So let's talk about this.
So
why do you feel like Ty is in such a good spot?
Because they, like, first of all, Ty, everything about Ty, in my opinion, is working for him. Like, he's gay, he's Asian, like, he talks about his time being, like, an immigrant. So, like, I, and mind you, I'm always thinking, and when I say those things, I'm not just, like, randomly spinning them out. I'm always thinking about what people can say when they're sitting in that final two speaking to the jury. So all four of them things right there that Ty has, like, can melt any jury's heart.
Besides quadruple threat.
A quadruple threat. Okay, that was more than what I had going out there. Not to mention, Ty's provided for everyone out there. Not to mention, he's climbed the mango trees. Not to mention that he was like on the bottom of an alliance that, like, you know, he was like. So to me, Ty, if in my opinion, if Ty goes to the final, Ty is the winner, like, hands down. Like, I'm not sure what show he was watching. And yet, Ty even went through a little villain phase where he was pouring out the water because he was following in his alliance. And sidebar, he was actually playing the game. In my opinion, he, like, put his whole heart into the game because that's not even who Ty is to even do something like that, which to me tells me that he's, like, pouring his whole heart into this game. So in my opinion, Ty could beat Sydney hands down. Ty could definitely beat Michelle hands down. Ty could definitely beat Pop Goat Joe hands down.
Well, he's gone. And,
right, that's what I'm saying. So I'm not really sure, like, what show he's watching. But child, they giving Ty the God edit this season, in my opinion.
Oh, my God! The oh my God edit. So yeah. You feel like that 6 days from now, when we're sitting and we're watching the finale, you feel like there's a really good shot that Ty is going to be the winner of this season.
Well, no, I don't, because I really want my girls to take him out and I really want it to be one of the three girls. But I'm staying from, like, a non-bias. If they don't get Ty out, if Aubrey can work her magic with Ty, I feel like Ty would be the winner, absolutely.
Do you feel like that the jury respects him? Because I feel like that we've heard a lot about how he's flip-flopped. And again, the original Brains versus Beauty versus Braun had a guy who flip-flopped quite a bit, who won the game, but I don't know if he's going to be able to own his moves. And I know even Tony himself, and I said this last night too on the know-it-alls, that I don't think Tony was great in that final tribal council, but I feel like that Ty wants to be seen as a good person by everybody. And I think right. That he's going to really struggle with that in the final tribal council of if people call him out for moves that he's made. I think that that's going to be an issue for him in terms of explaining what he did.
I don't think so, because if you look at when he got back from tribal council and he was confused as to what happened with that vote and him and Michelle was going back and forth, little nice Ty went away and little bit nasty Ty came out and Ty was like, I don't even know who you are.
Yeah.
You are not, like, you know what I mean? So I feel like if he's pushed hard enough.
You know, I have a clip of that moment. Can I play that? Okay. This is when Ty is talking to Michelle about what he thought was going to happen at Tribal Council.
Seriously, there was two alliances to me that not involve you, Michelle. I know that sounds hurtful, but you understand where...
No, but that's okay. I don't need to understand.
All right.
You know, whatever.
Whatever.
Ty was giving her the business and Ty talk. So I do feel like he will be able to. And my thing is like, I mean, as Survivor, we hold ourselves to these double standards. Like, we want somebody that's like, oh, my God, I want you to stay true to the alliance. And, like, you know, but at the end of the day, you got to flip and you got to flop to outwit and outlast. So I really do feel like, but you do bring up a good point, though, Rob. I feel like Ty has the resume of a Survivor winner. However, I don't feel like he'll be able to articulate and stand by his moves and say the right things to get enough jury votes. But
he freezes up, I feel like.
He does. And I don't know, maybe they'll allow Mark the Chicken to come out there and he'll be able to pet him and calm him down. But I mean, I, in my opinion, like if Ty, me and Ty could switch places real quick and I could speak for him.
That's what he needs.
Right. If we could tag team in as the gay beauties, like if I could tag team in, baby, me and Ty will win it. Okay.
Yeah.
But the girls need to be smart and the girls need to realize that like Ty's a threat. He has to go.
That's interesting to see how that'll play out. I think that would be very exciting to see Ty at the end and see if he can defend this game that he's played.
Right.
All right. Let's take another question from the listeners. And this is from Naomi, wants to talk about the lack of immunity idols played this season.
Hi, Robin Bryce. This is Naomi calling in. No hidden immunity idols were played this season. Do you like that or hate it? Is this a fluke or an evolution of strategy?
Voting blocks. It's voting blocks.
The voting blocks. I'm so happy they didn't say voting blocks this season.
It wasn't invented yet.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's right. Forgot about that.
Okay. So no hidden immunity idols were played this season. You had the Neil idol went out with Neil. You had Jason's idol went out with Scott. And then Ty's idol was not eligible to be played because you only could play it till Final Five and Joe gets medevaced out of the game at Final Five when Ty would have used it. So did you like a season with no idols played?
So I did like a season with no idols played, but it wasn't a season of no idols. Like the imminent threat of the idol was still there. So in my mind, it still was played. But I feel like, more importantly, a curse was broken with the extra vote. Forget the idols. Ty finally broke the extra vote curse, although he did not use it properly. He, you know, beat Steven and he beat Dan and not getting voted out. So I feel like that, to me, is a major selling point of this season, that like Ty finally broke the extra vote curse.
Wow. So now people can get the extra vote and they don't have to worry that they're going to get voted out the night that they play it, like Steven Fishback or Dan Foley.
Right. So that curse has been lifted. Okay, who cares about idols? Right.
That's good. So are you saying that you would want to see a season of Survivor that has no hidden immunity idols?
Well, I mean, in my personal opinion, yes, because I feel like, you know what I do miss that we haven't seen in a while? I'm like jumping all over the place. Sorry, you know, it's not a pay week. So, you know, I'm sipping on that box wine. But I miss people giving their individual immunity up at tribal. Like, that's what I miss. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, the good old days. Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Why? Who was doing that so much?
Well, you know who did it. You know my girl, Saree. Was it Eric? She convinced Eric to give it up to me. He got voted out.
Yes, you like that.
You know that. But I miss the good old days. And I kind of feel like, I don't know. I'm all over the place with this question. Because I do feel like a game with no idols could be a new twist for season 38.
Yeah.
But because, I mean, I have my own suspicions, but I don't really want to stay on air, hint, hint, wink, wink, about how I feel about hidden immunity idols and when people find them with no clues at all.
Yeah.
But so that kind of like, as a fan and me being out there, and I know like you could not find a hidden immunity idol if you don't have a clue. But so, I mean, I don't know. Like, as a viewer of the show, I think like when it's used properly, but I also think that like without idols, like it makes the game more interesting, more fun. Like, you know, there's not a sense of like, we need to flush the idol out. We need to split the votes. We need to like, it takes that all away. And it's like pure strategy, pure strategic, and people flip-flop. And I feel like it would be a more exciting season.
Would you feel like it was a better game if the idols didn't come out until the post-merge? Like, would you want to at least get rid of pre-merge idols as a compromise?
Oh, I can definitely do that. And then have post-merge idols. You know, I can agree on that.
I'm fine with the idols. I don't think it's been too much. I think that probably the more controversial question is, should you be able to put the two idols together and make the super idol? Because we almost ran into a scenario where that looked like that was going to be an alliance that was unbeatable if Ty was able to stick with them. Did that really bother you that they had a super idol this season?
I didn't like the super idol only because I really was not a fan of that alliance at the time. So I'm like, oh my God, are they really about to use the idol and somebody that I really don't like stays? But Ty said, no, I'm not giving you my idol tonight. So it didn't happen. So yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the super idol.
What do you think was more fair when you had Tony, who had the super idol, but it was all in one person. So I guess hypothetically, you could like, okay, let's split the votes on Tony and this other person, and potentially you could flush it easier than if this is each person has half of it and it could be played after the votes, and then either half of that side could play it.
Right. But then I would still think if you split the votes, the other person is still going home, right? Because you can only save the one person.
But then they have their votes also. So I think you'd have to do it far enough back where there are three votes, especially when they have a third person in there.
Right. You know, like when it was me, Alexis, and Morgan, and then I got sent home. Right. So, yeah. But then we abolished the pre-merge idol. So that wouldn't happen in our fantasy season.
Okay. So do you have any less of a problem, more of a problem with the one person Tyler Perry idol or the two person put it together idol?
I probably would be a more fan of like the Tyler Perry idol than the two people put on one together. I like it with one person because then it's not the leery threat of like two other people having an idol. Like, you know what I mean? So I like the one person idol.
Is it possible? Do you think that Tyler Perry came up with this idea also, but was like, all right, listen, that I got a lot of crap from people about the last one. Don't put my name on it. And actually, the first time ever Tyler Perry said, don't put my name on that.
No, I think this was more like a Lee Daniels idol. You know what I'm saying? I think this was Lee Daniels texting Jeff.
All right. Let's take another question from Drew from Pennsylvania. Wants to know about a bad omen for Aubrey.
Hey, Rob. Drew calling in from Pennsylvania. I've been all in on an Aubrey win for a while now. But this weekend, I was out to dinner with my wife, and she, much like Nicole, made a great point. The biggest strike against Aubrey is that she hasn't had a single memorable rap soundbite. So... can we have a winner that didn't make the soundboard?
It's a really good question.
So I feel like although she might have not made the soundboard, she definitely made the GIF board. Have you seen Aubrey dancing?
Yes, yes. No, she has been very good at doing things that you could turn into a GIF. That she also has been very good at analogies. I'm looking right at my sounds from this season. Yeah, I really don't have much. Last week we did play this, which was not.
It's like Sophie's Choice.
Again, not super memorable.
Yeah.
I really think that might be it. I don't think she had a lot of sound bites.
I mean, well, listen, you're counting her too short. We still have a 2-hour finale. She may come guns a-blazing. Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a dream about Aubrey the other day.
Oh, does Nicole know?
No. That is at the Survivor finale, Aubrey came out and she was dating Cochran. And it was like this whole big reveal at the Survivor finale.
Oh.
And then I had totally forgotten that this was a dream until I was like, oh, wait, that didn't happen. That was just a dream. But they were like some sort of like it couple.
Oh, my God.
Because she said like, oh, I'm like Cochran's dream girl. That's probably I should have pulled that. I think I did pull that quote. That might have been one of the other things. I'm running these scenarios like I'm Cochran's dream girl, she said.
Oh, I wonder how Aubrey's husband would have felt about her.
She's kids. Married?
Yes.
Aubrey is married?
Do you not watch Aubrey's Snapchat?
Oh, my God. This is a shocker to me.
Oh, my God.
Am I spilling the tea on Rob as a podcast?
Wow. I have no idea. Congratulations.
Yes.
Yeah, but yeah, I was shipping them in my after she said she was Cochran's dream girl.
Oh, you signed, sealed, and delivered. You just deliver. You just thought you were making a Survivor couple.
Yeah, they walked in. They were holding hands.
Oh God! I mean, we haven't had a Survivor on air couple like in a while.
From
a cross season couple.
Boy, I'm trying to think. Who was the last one? I mean, I feel like that's like a thing. That's not like, you know, one night only.
Right, because I know, but I don't know. I think they were dating before, but I know So Kim and Malcolm.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's a good one. That's a good one. I'll take that. But, yeah, well, so you blew my mind. Blew my mind there.
Oh, my God. You're flabbergasted over there.
Yeah. So, but do you think that a lack of sound bites, I don't think that the sound bites necessarily help you win a season.
Yeah, no. I think that she can still press on without a sound bite of, you know, on the Rob has a sound.
I think you're all right. I don't think that there's a correlation there with winning the season and having sound bites on the soundboard since we've been collecting sound bites.
Sorry, Pennsylvania.
All right. Here's a very important pre-finale question. This is from Matt.
Good evening, gentlemen. It's Matt Wojcik again from Mineola, New York. And now it's time to play the classic game, who is not going to get a question at the reunion? As an expert in this, Rob, who do you think this is going to happen to? Love you, Bay.
All right. Here we go. All right. So we did this last year. Mike Bloom was on the last voicemail show of the season before the finale. And we did the draft. Who's not going to get a question at the finale? And I mopped the floor with Mike Bloom. He picked Sierra. It was really terrible job by Mike Bloom there at the finale. So I believe that the rules of the game were, okay, if anybody, we'll take turns. Are you up for this?
I'm up for this. Some people, I don't even know their name, so you'll have to help me, but.
Okay. So I believe the rules of the game were that we're going to have the draft. I'll give you the first pick, and then I'll get to make two picks. We'll each pick three people. Okay. And then those are the people that we're going to say, all right, Jeff will not ask these people questions. And then I think then for every question they do get, let's make it 3 points if they get a question. And again, you want to have the lowest score. This is like golf here. So okay. If they get a question, I end up getting 3 points because they got a question.
Okay.
So it's hypothetically, if you pick Ty and Ty gets a question, for every question he gets, I get 3 points. Okay. Also, if they get mentioned in conversation, if somebody says their name, that's 1 point.
Well, somebody should have picked me on my season because I ain't getting no point. Y'all would have had the lowest score. He went to Garrett and David and then jumped me to Jatia. Excuse me, Jeff Probst. But anyway, okay.
Yeah, so it's not always easy to figure out. It's not always easy to who would have known like he's going to go to Garrett in that spot, you know, and sometimes he'll do it. Like there's some seasons where he'll go rapid fire and do stuff.
Right.
There's some seasons half the cast don't get a question.
Well, there's some seasons cast aren't even on the stage.
Shame.
But yeah, I never understood that. And it always kind of pisses me off because there's some seasons where he talks to everybody and there's ample time. And then other seasons, like the amount of time that Jeff spent talking to Dan Foley on that reunion, I will never understand.
Well, I think that Dan Foley, he really made them mad. And I think that if you make them mad.
Well, clearly, because they were out for blood. I mean, they pull up sound bites. They stopped and paused the frame. But I'm all of that time, but you could be talking to you know what I mean? You could be talking to okay. Ooh, I got a good one. Okay, so I'm not okay. All right, I'm ready to play the game.
Oh, you're right. We're right into it. Okay. All right. So you have the first pick of the person that. And again, I do feel like in this spot though, I kind of feel like that a lot of people are going to get spoken to. I think that this is a hard season. Like I feel like last season there was 20 people. There was going to be people that they were definitely going to spend a lot of time with. You knew they were going to spend a lot of time catching up with Terry. So I felt like that last season was actually pretty easy. This season I think is going to be trickier.
Well, I feel like Liz Markham.
Liz is your number one pick.
Is my number one pick.
Yeah. What would he even ask her if he was going to go to her?
God, that's so shady when you say it.
I'm trying to think about it like a producer of content. Like, okay, if you were gonna ask Liz a question, what would the question be? Like, what's the unresolved story for her?
And I feel like Liz was a character like me, play hard and went home early. She had a lot of fight left in her. But yeah, so I'm saying Liz is definitely not going to get any questions.
Okay, that's a pretty good pick. For me, boy. There's a lot of people that have something. I'm gonna say, you know, I have back-to-back picks. I think I'm just gonna play it safe, and I think I'm gonna go just back-to-back. I'm gonna give me Jennifer.
Which one is Jennifer? Is she the brown hair one?
Yes, that she.
That was my next.
Although that it could be that he could that might be a bad pick because he might go for the bug in the ear question of oh, of course, who could forget Jennifer who got the bug in her ear? Jennifer, what was that like? So that I could be asking for trouble there. And then give me Darnell also.
Hold on, time out. I thought it's pick for pick.
You got the first pick.
Oh, and then you get to pick two.
And then you now you get to pick two, and then I get the last pick. It's a snake draft.
I got set up again.
You have the number one pick.
I mean, I know, but if I knew that, then I would have wanted to go second because, like, how you going? Like, I want Darnell. All right, so I'm going to go
But if I didn't set up the rules properly, you could have Darnell.
Right. I think we need to pull out the Rob Has a Podcast handbook and read these properly. So I get to pick the next two.
Do you get Darnell?
No, you can have Darnell.
All right.
So I'm going with Liz Markham. I shouldn't problem solve out loud. But
you can.
I will.
Well, okay. It would be a boring podcast if you did it in your head.
So I definitely don't want Alicia because I definitely feel like she has a lot of like storylines to like peg off of the bullying situation.
Yeah. Also, that's a point. If they just blurt out like nobody's talking to them and like if they're talking to Jason and she's just like, yeah, well, remember that time? And, like that's you get a point for that.
So I'm going to go Anna.
Anna. Okay.
And I get to pick the last my second person now.
Yeah.
And from Anna, I probably will go because they're definitely going to speak to Caleb. I feel like everyone. So I'm going to go Anna and then I'm going to go Peter.
Peter. That's a good pick. It's a good pick. Peter could get a question like, now, Peter, you're as a doctor. Have you ever seen triage like this season? It was so many incidents.
My feel like is since you got, I'm going for people that I at least know could get one. That's my strategy now. Like, I mean, clearly.
Yeah.
So I don't know who else you would pick.
So this is going to be a tough spot for the last pick. I think.
I wouldn't go with anybody that was medically evacuated.
No, I'm not going to go with Neil. For me, it's between Nick and Julia.
Oh.
And I wonder who's more likely to get the question. I feel like Julia.
She's going to get a question because she's like, they're going with that youngest person like trend.
Yeah.
So I would probably put my money on Nick.
All right. Well, you're very helpful. Give me Nick. All right. So the Rob team of who's not going to get a question is Jennifer, Darnell, and Nick. You have Liz, Anna, and Peter. And then we will see on Wednesday who ends up with the most points and is the loser
right.
of the who's not going to talk.
So make sure somebody tweets me the stats because, you know, I'll probably be drinking. Well, next week is the pay week, so I had real wine. So I probably forget about the bet. So make sure y'all tweet me so I know if I won. Okay.
And so you have to be rooting for Jennifer, Darnell, and Nick to be really chatting it up.
After we're done, I'm going to text Nick. I'm going to text Darnell and say I'm rooting for you to get a question.
Yes. And I will be like tweeting in questions to Jeff, like ask Liz about what was it like living with Debbie? Yeah, that's what they would probably ask Liz. Like, all right, Liz, what was it like being out there with Debbie? Like, oh, Jeff, let me tell you, you could get questions about certain people because sometimes like Jeff will just go to like random people for things. Like, oh, Matt Quinlan, what was that like when the guys were throwing the challenges? Like, Jeff, I wasn't even in the game when that happened. Like, oh, you weren't? Oh, okay. So anything could happen. All right. So that's the draft for the finale. And bonus question, will Mark the Chicken be on the stage?
We'll see. I am curious to know. That was going to be my first pick, but I felt like that wouldn't be a real one, but we'll see.
I still say package for Mark the Chicken. They'll show highlights and they'll talk to Ty, but no chicken at the finale.
He's almost as popular as Jeremy's Chicken. I mean, it's like a tough toss up.
Juicy J, with all due respect to Juicy J, is not in the league of Mark the Chicken.
Well, I mean, I would agree, but
Juicy J's biggest moment came in a secret scene.
But it's still a fan favorite. You can't this.
Sure. Still a fan favorite. Sure. Juicy J, easily the number two chicken of all time, even ahead of the guy named Chicken. But I think that Mark the Chicken is number one, certainly. All right, another finale question. This is from Anthony.
Oh, yes, Anthony.
Rob and Bryce, this is Anthony calling, and I have a question about the reunion show. Do you think Debbie will get the Coach Tokenshin's reunion show treatment, where Debbie's going to have a laundry list of jobs and careers that he had in the past 10 or 20 years, and Jeff Probst going to do a lie detector test for Debbie? Do you think this will be the freakiest reunion show of all time? What do you guys think? Thank you.
All right, how much time do you think they're going to spend on Debbie at the reunion show?
I think they're going to spend a lot of time on Debbie. Debbie definitely was a polarizing character. She was fun. She was like everything you will want in a person to play Survivor was in Debbie. So I feel like they're going to spend a lot of time on Debbie. And I do think they're going to do a reel of how many jobs that she had, because they were so shady. Like every time you would see Debbie, she would have a new job listed under her. Mm-hmm. So that's how I already know. I'm using my Sydney senses to tell you that they are going to spend a lot of time on her.
Do you think that there will be any person that is either like a loved one or a friend of anybody that they go and talk to in the audience? Like, oh, okay, here's Debbie's whatever, or for any of the cast.
I think we'll get a pan view of Debbie's family and they'll all be cheering. But funny that you should bring that up, Rob. Where is the family visit?
Much like in the original Brains versus Beauty versus Braun, they did it at Final Four. They did it also at Final Five in the finale for Worlds Apart. So if we get it, I think it could still be in the finale.
Because you know I stopped watching last season.
Did you really stop watching the season?
I did. To this day, I mean, yes and no.
It was
like,
a good season.
I mean, I heard, right? So wait, they showed the family visit in the final, in the finale?
Yeah, you should watch it. Tony's friend.
His brother came and he broke down. I remember that. Yeah. I did. Well, I was forced to watch.
Yeah, you were in the green room.
I need to Wikipedia that, because I don't remember seeing Tony's brother with. Anyway, I guess it doesn't matter.
But yeah, I thought it was like his friend, but right. Cass's husband, Spencer's sister. And then I don't remember who came for Wu.
I think Wu's girlfriend.
His girlfriend came? Okay. So yeah, then they were all there. And
all right, and it was that challenge, and Cass's husband was climbing the thing. So yeah, my season is
Cass was climbing the thing. Mr. Cass was watching.
Right.
Yeah, they just were like, they're like, oh, here's your family. They're going to help just watch you do the challenge today.
Oh. Yeah. My season is now available on Amazon. I might have to buy it and come and really actually watch the whole season.
Yes.
No emotions.
Check it out.
Yes.
So, yeah, we think that there will be catching up with Debbie. No word on whether or not it'll be some sort of a talk to a representative from Debbie's world in the audience. Okay. All right. Let's take a question from Amy from Pittsburgh. Not too far from you. Only like a 6-hour drive from you. Right.
Not too far.
All right. Here's Amy.
Hi, Rob and Bryce. This is Amy from Pittsburgh. Going into this episode, I really thought that Joe was going to go home due to the fact that I felt he had a fifth place edit. Typically, in recent seasons, the person who goes out in fifth place is either invisible during the season and or has zero chance of winning. Just as an example, Keith Nail from Cambodia, Sierra from Worlds Apart, Eric from Caramelin, Alicia from One World, and who could forget Rancher Rick from South Pacific and the great Dan Lundo from Nicaragua. Do you think that a fifth place edit exists? I'd love to hear your thoughts. ...
Mm-hmm. Okay, Bryce, do you think, is there a fifth place edit thing? Is fifth place, this doesn't even sound like it's edit. This is more like that, is somebody who can never win the game voted out in fifth place? Yeah.
And I mean, the logic of that makes sense, because at this point in time, it's like, you, when you're out there, I would never know, because you know I never made the merge. But how I would think about it is that, I never make the merge. But how one would think about it is, at this point in time, I do agree with her, because like at this point in time, when it's five left, you can still do the 3-on-2. And it's like, you probably need to get rid of the dead weight before you have to turn on yourself. So it probably is that person that has been carried around, because it's like, if me, you, and Nicole are in an alliance, and eventually we're going to have to turn on each other. So we're going to need to prolong that for as long as we can.
And that's when you and Nicole vote me out?
Well, we wouldn't vote you out. We're still going to vote as a unit.
We're going to go to the final three?
Right. We're going to vote Garrett out, and then we'll get Garrett out, and then we'll need to turn on each other. So I really can see the logic in the GOAT being voted out as the fifth person while you still have the three numbers. Now, however, I don't know if the edit necessarily shows that, but I kind of actually agree with her a little bit because it is that person that like has zero chance. Although I still think Pop Joe would have a fighting chance because, you know, like when he pulled Peter to the side and interrogated him, he would get all of them jury members together. So I agree with her. I do think there is a trend to when it's five left, that fifth person generally is going to be the more GOAT esque light, unless they're the ultimate goal and you are in alliance with them and they're coming along with you.
Yeah, I think it's tricky. I think that, you know, there's so many different extenuating circumstances in all the seasons. Like even like last season, you know, Keith Nail, it wasn't like, oh, he was just the fifth wheel of the alliance and it was his time. It was just like that.
But Keith was very much Keith and Pop Joe are very so much synonymous to each other.
But in that case, in last season, it was like, you know, you had the three with Tasha and Spencer and Jeremy. They were tight. And then Kelly won immunity. And it was like, well, who else were you going to vote out? They weren't going to vote themselves out.
But and that's so much. That's like the same scenario here. You have Ty that would have had the idol. And then you would have Nicole, Aubrey, and whatever. And I feel like Aubrey would have
Nicole. That was in the fake scenario.
Y'all getting me confused. Okay, I'm done with the box wine for now. But no, I mean, I feel like this because you had Nicole and you had not Nicole.
Who's Nicole? Nicole is Michelle?
Yes, Michelle.
Whatever.
Don't do that, Michelle. Well, we had Michelle, Sydney, and Aubrey. And I think Aubrey could have realized she probably wouldn't have parted ways with Joe. So maybe in my head, this scenario sounded better. But that's a very similar scenario, though, because Sydney could have won immunity. So hypothetically, Ty and Sydney would have had immunity. And then, like, Sydney wouldn't want to get rid of Michelle, and it could have been Joe. So, no, I really do feel like Keith and Pop Joe, their characters are very similar.
I do think that maybe there is something to there being, like, a person who's not really great at the game, who's like, hey, I'm in the final three with this group. Hey, I'm in the final. Oh, this is great.
Right.
I'm going to the final three. I've got my alliance set. I don't need to make any moves. I'm going to the final three. I'm squared away. And then it's like, not really. You weren't really part of the group. You get voted out at fifth.
And it also talks about your game plan because you're not smart enough or you don't have enough wit to know that it's you to game play with others. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Keith was very comfortable in his spot and didn't really like pop. Well, he got taken out. But I would have imagined that he probably would have got taken out anyway. So I agree with that kind of sort of.
Okay, let's take another question and let's go back to something about your arch rival. This is from Eichler.
Hey, Robin Bryce. This is Eichler from Salt Lake. And I was just thinking, Mark the Chicken was totally invisible in this last episode. How do you guys think that impacts his dinner? I mean, winner's edit. Thanks, guys. Bye.
First of all, I'm asleep. But he still got more edit in this episode than I did my whole entire life on Survivor. So
That's not true. I don't know where Eichler was calling us from either. Like,
right. He sounded like he was in an opera hall or a really big bathroom.
Well, no, definitely it's not not the same bathroom that was Joe's at Ponderosa.
As Papa Joe.
Yeah. Do you think is there any possibility that Mark the Chicken could not make it through the finale based on his invisible edit in episode 13?
Well, I don't know. I think the issue what's going on with him is, I think it's similar to Joe, that big old beetle that Ty gave him last episode. No. I think it's catching up with him.
Ate 3 feet of grub. I think
he ate 3 feet of grub. You see how fast he ran away with it.
Jeff, I will tell you what it was. I haven't eaten meat. I don't eat meat. And they had these steak kebab things. I've eaten 3 feet of it.
Wow.
So I think Mark the Chicken might be medbacked out.
Oh no. Wow. What a tragic end to the story of Mark the Chicken if he ended up getting medevaced in that way.
Right. Because that was a pretty fat grub.
Can you make my boo-boo go away?
Poor Pop-Up Joe. All right. Well, we'll see if that ultimately ends up happening. I mean, would they medevac him out of the game? Would they take him to some veterinarian, or it would just be time to eat him if that happened?
I mean, but then could you eat a sick chicken that would make all of them sick? So I think, you know, given his popularity, I think they would probably medevac.
All right. Let's take another question that's somewhat on this area. And let's take this question. This is from Rob in West Palm Beach.
Hey, Robin Bryce. It's Rob from West Palm Beach, Florida. Last night we saw Survivor go to commercial with an old 71-year-old man wandering into the ocean, leaving us to wonder whether or not he was going to be able to take a dump. I'm just wondering, has there ever been a more boring moment of suspense in Survivor history? Let me know what you think.
What do you think about that as a suspenseful moment in Survivor history, whether or not Joe was going to be able to have a movement?
I mean, on the Richter scale, I'm still probably asleep.
That wasn't doing it for you?
I mean, it did absolutely nothing. And I even try to think, the last person that got, I'm not good with seasons or names, but the last person that got medevac in this type of way was so much more dramatic. Where they had to come get him from the middle of the night, and that one guy was naked, and they had to carry him out.
Bruce in Panama, your favorite season.
Yeah, so like Bruce, like, I mean, if that's how you're going to have to go out, that's how you go out, you know. Mm-hmm. He was in the middle of the night. He couldn't pee or poop. And yeah, it hit him hard. So yeah, the suspense with this, yeah, I'm still asleep, Pop-Pop. But I mean, we love Joe.
We still love Joe.
We still love Pop-Pop.
Yeah, I think that the problem for this was it was starting to be, 8:35, 8:40. And I'm like, oh, we haven't had an immunity challenge yet.
Right.
And there was definitely a buzz on Survivor Twitter and on Reddit that there was going to potentially be this medical evacuation coming up with this week. And potentially it was going to be Joe. And then, you sort of had after a couple mentions of the meat, it's like, boy, they're really talking about this meat a lot. And then at the point where we didn't have a challenge and Joe's like, yeah, I don't feel good. At least like the first time around with Neil's medical evacuation that happened at the end of an episode, it was like, okay, the doctor is going to come and take a look at everybody. We don't know.
Right.
It was like kind of like, who's going to get blindsided here? Is it going to be Scott? Is it going to be Ty? Like, you knew somebody was going home, but we didn't know exactly who it was going to be. And then with this, it was just sort of a foregone conclusion with about 20 minutes left. Okay, Joe is going out of the game here.
Right. And then it's like Joe had his stuff packed and ready like before the ambulance even came. I'm like, why is Sydney carrying Pop-Pop Joe? Like, so yeah, we kind of already knew it. But I mean, kudos to Joe, 71, being out there playing Survivor. Like, I mean, I hope when I'm 30, I can play Survivor. Okay?
All right, let's do one more voicemail. This is Victor from SoCal.
Robin Bryce, this is Victor from Southern California. I got a question about Joe Del Campo. Since he made it to Final Five, can we simply say that he is the best Joe to play the game of all time? Love to hear your thoughts. All right, guys. And Bryce, keep kicking ass with those purple pants.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah.
Is Joe Del Campo the best Survivor Joe of all time? Now, he did make it further than any other Survivor Joe.
I mean, I feel like this is taking a shot at my baby Joe Ingram. No, are you kidding me? Joe Ingram is...
I thought he was throwing shade at Joe Dowdle.
Which one is that? That's the shade. So, no, Pop-Pop Joe rounds out about... He can come in third place, but Joe Ingram is still at the top. I live for my hashtag Man Bun Monday and my inspirational yoga quotes and yoga poses from Joe Ingram. Okay?
Joe Ingram does Man Bun Monday?
Where have you been? Yes, the teenage girls goes crazy. That gets about 13,000 likes every Monday.
Oh my God, I must be asleep.
You must be. I'm gonna tag you on one of the Man Bun Monday posts, Rob, so you can get your Man Bun Monday on.
Did he start Man Bun Monday, or is it that lots of people do Man Bun Monday?
Well, I think it's MCM.
It looks like a lot of people do it.
Right. Do you know what MCM is, though, Rob?
Crush Monday?
Right. So I think that that's Joe's take on Man Crush Monday. He's a, you know, Man Bun Monday, which is, you know, Joe has a nice man bun on.
And Woman Crush Wednesday?
Women Crush Wednesday. So, I mean, I'm expecting next Wednesday to see Nicole on your Instagram hashtag WCW.
She's going to go with a Woman Bun Wednesday.
I don't know if it's a woman, but it should be like a woman tail Wednesday or like a
tail. Like, not those kind of buns, Bryce.
I'm talking like a ponytail.
Oh,
type
okay.
Thing. And then we got to do like a dump day Thursday for Joe.
No, stop. No, please. Okay. All right. Then I have a song that came in. Do you want to hear a musical entry for this week's voicemail?
You know, I live for the music. Is this from the same person? This is a new entry.
New person. We're upping our game here. All right. This is from one of our listeners. This is from William. He says, don't tell Josh Wiggler. He's not the only one that has connections in the reality show music scene. I had to scour my sources, but I finally got a Big Brother contestant to speak, and it came over from the border. Apparently, Kevin Martin was involved in a band with Joe Del Campo, set up by Jennifer Lanzetti for some reason, but it turned out it was from a mutual friend, Nick Majorano, who was their backup singer. Don't ask. It's weird. And also, without further ado, he sung this song with Kevin Martin, Joe Del Campo, and Nick Majorano under the manager Jonas at Tsuji. And they call themselves the Jonas Bros. And here's that song.
It's too hot and I'm old. Spell immunity, I don't know. I want reward, cause I've thrown balls underhand like coach. I'm slipping into the sauna, and I eat all the food cause I wanna. I feel like I'm about to drop an iguana, cause I'm blowing up Ari's game on Survivor. Come at me, Bruce, can I got it? Even got naked Shane Powers in the back of my medevac. I holla.
There you go. Well done.
I don't want to be the Azealia Banks of the Rob Has a Podcast show. So, I mean, that was cute.
He went all out. He went all out.
I mean, no, he definitely did. I mean,
Joe Anthem, not Joe Anglem.
Oh. Well, I need somebody to do a Man Bun Monday song next time I do voicemail.
You want a song about Joe?
Yes. Joey Amazing.
What do you want them to sing about? Just his man bun?
They can talk about his man bun, and then they can go from there.
Yeah. Have you met him in real life?
I have met Joe a couple of times.
Yes. And just very taken with the man bun and the yoga. Do you do yoga?
I don't do yoga.
Okay. All right, that's next. That's next.
I do box wine.
You should totally come to yoga.
All right. You want to get into some of this Survivor social media?
We can.
All right, hit it, Ryan Elder.
Tweets, baby, tweets. Survivor tweets. They're better than going home because you ate too much meat. Tweets.
There you go, Ryan Elder. Better than going home because you ate too much meat. 3 feet of meat, even. That's never a good idea.
Mm-mm.
All beef, Joe's all beef.
It was very ominous, too, when he was talking about Joe is all beef. He's talking to he went third person on us.
He definitely did.
Joe's all beef. He's all beef. Not good. All right. Thank you, at Ryan Elder Music. All right. Let's get into some of the social media from last night. At Sarge Jason, he tweeted, Survivor Season 32, everyone goes home with an idol. It's like being on Oprah.
You get an idol.
I feel like that's an old joke in terms of talking about Survivor, but this is really the season where it's just like everybody who's leaving the game going out of there with one of the idols.
Agreed. I mean, you know, it's all about that extra vote this season.
And then a bunch of tweets from Neil Gottlieb were out there. Let me give you, he said, drinking game, do a shot each time Ty says, I'm confused. Ty is confused pretty often.
He is. He doesn't really know. He's had a rough past, so he doesn't really know what's going on a lot of the time. So y'all be easy on Ty Ty.
Also, I got a voicemail in from someone claiming to be Neil Gottlieb. I'm not sure if I'm buying it or not. You want to hear it?
Let's see if it's Neil.
Okay.
Hello, Rob and Bryce. This is Neil Gottlieb calling from Ponderosa. While I've been sitting here, I've been curious. Despite making the merge, do you still believe that I am a dateable dandy in ice cream pants, despite national television being introduced to Mount St. Neil and his evil cousin on my back? Nick seems to think that I'm not. And also, Bryce, if Mount St. Neil isn't considered the freakiest freak of the week, then my fandom for you will seriously be dropping, and there will be no Three Twins ice cream for you. Thanks, guys.
All right. Bye. Are you buying that? Does that sound like real Neil? Real deal Neil?
No, it's not the real deal Neil, because the real deal Neil sent me ice cream for my birthday.
What?
So I've already had some.
Wow.
So.
Look at you.
You know, I get around where I could get around.
What did you do to get to earn the ice cream for your birthday?
I mean, he was trying to come from my spot with them ice cream pants, and I had to let him know I'm the purple pants badass.
Yes.
And he humbly agreed and respected, and it was my birthday, so he sent me, you know.
Wow.
Some ice cream. So shout outs to Neil.
What do you think of the bromance between Neil and Nick at Ponderosa?
I think it's amazing. And I think Neil is hilarious. I don't think I gave Neil, I wish I would have seen this Neil at Ponderosa. It would have like changed my vision on Neil during the show. Because I mean, I'm Neil on Nick during the show. Because Nick is kind of funny. Like, he's like more than funny. And so I think that his sense of humor, I didn't have enough time to grow on him as I have time to watch him at Ponderosa. So Nick is funny. I love Nick.
I think that they both have a very dry, sarcastic sense of humor. And that doesn't always play well in the edit. I think like snark plays really well in the edit. But I feel like sometimes where it's like a dry sort of humor, I think that that's hard to come across in like a couple seconds on the edited version.
I 100% agree. And a lot of the things that Nick was saying at first, I was taking so serious. That's why I'm like, is he kidding? But now that I can kind of see like more of his personality, I kind of get Nick a lot better. After all, he is a Greek god.
Yeah, he's Adonis. Right. All right. Peter, your boy Peter, that he tweeted out, tough episode. Xcal Intel is an amazing, tough man and a warm-hearted, sensitive individual. Turns out his prostate is the elimination idol. Hold on a second. What the hell is the elimination idol?
It's the idol that sends your behind home. And that a large prostate. Okay.
It prevented elimination. That was really the problem.
No, it created and blocked elimination.
And caused an elimination. Yeah. That his prostate is the elimination idol. Boy.
That's funny.
He also said, or if one chose to do a physical exam, they would find an incarcerated hernia that may or may not need to be able to be reduced. Hashtag from my couch.
Yeah, hashtag over my head and with a lot of Peter's jokes. But I mean, I get it, but it's like, okay. Nah.
Caleb, Beast Mode Cowboy. You're still high on Beast Mode Cowboy?
Caleb is still, you know, I mean, he's like not in my top five. But he's,
top five, baby?
Yeah, he's not there yet, but he's in very high regards.
All right, that he said, dang, I just saw myself on Survivor. Hashtag Survivor 32. I miss it now. Is he saying I just saw myself on Survivor in that? Wow, somebody just got medevaced from Survivor. That's like what happened to me. I just saw myself. Or was there a clip of him on the show?
I definitely didn't see a clip, so I'm going to have to go with question number one, being himself medevac, but I'm taking it he didn't see himself in Neil.
Yeah, I think it's probably the second thing. I think that they showed a clip in the finale preview of like, it's been the toughest season ever, and I think they probably showed a clip of Beast Mode Cowboy.
They did. They showed Sydney hyperventilating and him on the ground shaking. You're right, they did. Darn it.
Then Stephen Fishback, he tweeted out, Caleb didn't drink enough water. Joe had too much water. Michelle has just the right amount of water. Hashtag water's edit.
Fishy. The fishies love the water.
Yes, he's always on top of the water edit. All right. Randy Bailey, that he tweeted, yo, at Jeff Probst, the guy is being emergency medevaced with life-threatening symptoms. Interview him later. I did think that they spent a lot of time on the Q&A with Joe.
Well, I mean, because I don't think it was, I think Pop-Pop made the decision that, like, he didn't want to play anymore.
No, I got that. But it was like, okay, Jeff, I kind of need to deal with this situation. Can we get on with it? Can we get out of here right now?
But see, I think they gave Pop-Pop them laxatives and it didn't hit him yet. So, I mean, he still had time to talk. Now, if the laxatives would have came through during that, then I think it would have been more Pop-Pop would have been ready to go. But he wasn't just ready to go at that point in time.
All right. Well, then we also had from Jonathan Penner, one of the great tweeters, hasn't been tweeting a lot this season. He tweeted out something very unusual. He tweeted, sorry, but this episode of Survivor reminds me of my favorite Pokemon, Snorlax. Is that Penner's version of I'm Sleep?
I think that's absolutely his version of I'm Sleep.
And then he also had another tweet. And let me just say, I want to put up a warning. This tweet is NSFW, but I feel like I don't want to tamper with Penner's words here. But I just want a little bit of a warning here. If you want to skip ahead 20 seconds, he said, damn, sorry, Joe. Pardon the humor, but that's shitty and really pissed you off. Eating 3 feet of meat, friends, never a good idea. Medevacs suck.
Wow. That's a good Penner impression.
No 3 feet of meat ever.
I can agree to that. Okay. Yeah.
Would it have been more or less impressive if Joe called it a yard of meat?
I mean, 3 feet. I'm thinking the 3 feet sounds pretty impressive.
Okay. Better than 1 yard.
Better than 1 yard. Better than 3 inches. No go.
Okay. All of a sudden, Artis is in the mix. Artis is tweeting. Artis _ Survivor has been all of a sudden tweeting last night. First time this has come across my desk.
He's been pretty active on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's been writing paragraphs about Survivor this season on Facebook. I noticed that, but let me see. I make sure I'm following artists because I don't want to miss these tweets. Go ahead.
Okay. So he said, where's that damn X-Lax when you really need it? R-O-F-L, R-O-F-L, R-O-F-L.
Oh. Do we still use rolling on the floor?
Artist is doing it.
I'm sleep. But I love artists. But yeah, I guess we don't need the X-Lax. I think the type of pain Joe was having, you need to insert something up there to get that lava lamp flowing.
Yeah. And he's on board with the Sydney theory. He said, all that beef sucked up all of Joe's fluids, LOL. Sid called it and watched it happen with a conniving smile, LOL.
Is Artis really the girl from Facebook?
He has a secret identity. You said he used to be on Facebook.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm starting to put two and two together. I don't think, if anybody should be mad, it's... They should be mad at Michelle, who was like, I'm kind of happy this is happening. Y'all gonna leave my girl Sydney alone. What was she? Listen, she couldn't stop Pop-Pop from putting that meat in his face. Pop, he wanted meat, he got meat.
You can't stop him.
No, you can't. He was a man on a mission.
He would have bit you. Like Mark the Chicken. Then also that tell me what this means. Artist said Ty's tender spot is going to cost him $1 million. Whoa. Mm. I thought that Joe had the problem with his prostate.
I think artist means like what we were saying earlier, like he's not going to be able to articulate like what he needs to articulate. He can't be all soft and mushy gushy. We need like nasty tie to come through.
All right. Diane Ogden. I always like to get her tweets. Ogden,
oh, I love Diane.
Diane. She said, uh-oh, I just realized I missed Survivor. I was painting. Thank God I have DVR. Hashtag mark the chicken.
And trust me, if anybody follows Diane, if her DVR wasn't working, we will all know because she would be cussing out her cable provider on Twitter. I love Diane's DVR.
Do you like that move when people complain about stuff?
Well, no, I am. I do because I am. I have Comcast and Comcast like sucks. And anytime I have an issue, I at them. And I let them know, and they slide right in my DM, and they give me like a reference number, and they give me like $20 off my cable.
Yeah.
So no, that is very helpful.
Okay, and then do you delete it afterwards? What's the right move?
Like to delete what?
You leave the complaint out there.
I leave it up. Absolutely.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, that is the best way to get a hold of somebody is to do like an at mention, but then, but I like kind of, I don't want my other follow. Like I would like want the company to see it, but I don't like want followers to feel like they're like, nobody wants to hear you complain.
That's what no, because you'd
we
be
listen
surprised.
To you on the podcast complaining already.
No, you'd be surprised. You'd be speaking up for the voiceless, Rob, and the people that currently wouldn't
You're
have a,
hero.
A Wi-Fi connection. Yes. So no, you keep that status up.
Okay. Then, you know, we usually talk about Rupert tweets, but we haven't. We hardly get that. Some weeks he just is like he tweets up a storm or he's just not tweeting.
Right.
And then we had been doing Alexis Maxwell tweets in his place.
Oh, Alexis has been doing some pretty good ones.
They were interchangeable with the Rupert tweets, but I think she's upped her game a little bit. She says, I took those pills when I played and it made me so sick. It's definitely hard to stop eating, though, when all you've tasted is rice. What pills?
I'm thinking the pills that the medicine... Wait, read it again.
She said, I took those pills when I played and it made me so sick. It's definitely hard to stop eating, though, when all you've tasted is rice.
She's talking because Alexis was constipated, too.
Oh, no.
So she's yeah.
Are y'all urinating a lot?
All right. Well, more than we need to know.
So, listen. So she must be talking about the artist's ex-lad.
And Mark the Chicken. Does it annoy you that Mark the Chicken has a Twitter?
I am Snorri Mon.
Like Penner.
Like Penner.
His favorite Pokemon, Snorlax.
I'm Snorlaxing right now. Yeah. Okay?
Now, does Snorlax, is he, you know, he played with artists. Are they like collaborating? Did that combine snoring and X-Lax? Is that where Snorlax comes from?
I think it might, but that's my current state of mind. And how many damn followers does Mark the Chicken have? Because I'm about to delete. This podcast is about to get cut real short.
Mark the Chicken has 1,300 followers.
You know what? I'm done. Okay, like, let me go follow.
I don't follow Mark the Chicken.
I'm about to go at him real quick, okay?
You should start a Twitter feud with Mark
yes,
the
I'm
Chicken.
I'm going to start a Twitter feud with Mark the Chicken.
You should call him out. What are you going to say to him?
I don't even know at this point.
You should just like taunt him with like, just be like have like either you're cooking a chicken and be like, you're next, Mark.
I'm going to do it the real classy way. I'm going to take a photo with Juicy.
Oh, the best Survivor chicken.
Okay. Hashtag the best Survivor chicken. That's what I'm going to do. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, good. Put him in his place. I don't think that he is the actual. I think that it's a parody account. I don't think that this is a CBS sanctioned Mark the Chicken account.
Like, you don't say.
Well, that's something I could like. It's not run by CBS social media. This is just
you don't
fan.
Say. Yeah. I'm snorlaxing. I'm still snorlaxing.
Is that the hashtag today? Snorlax?
Snorlaxing or Snorlax. Okay. All right. It was going to be Pop Gotta Go, but Snorlax, I think.
Yeah. What do you think about getting it done at 71?
I mean, that's cute, but like, I feel like that's like an AARP ad, like, you know, but.
Yeah, I liked it that Jeff said it at the challenge. He's like, he's getting it done at 71. And then when he came for the medevac, Jeff was like, hey, what was that thing I said before, right? Right? I said, getting it done at 71. Like, I like that. That was good. Like, he was like really calling out like, hey, wasn't that great when I said that before? Yeah, I guess so. I can't wait for Joe. Is there something for something at 72?
You make sure you go poo at 72.
Yeah. So that's good for Joe. Joe said in my exit interview with him, he said he was ready to come back.
To Survivor?
Yeah.
They need to check on them kidneys and that prostate before Joe comes back, though.
All right, yeah. Take it easy at the rewards, Joe.
Yes.
All right. So this Wednesday night, the winner of Survivor is who?
I'm going to say Aubrey.
Aubrey. Okay. Over Ty? Or you said that Ty will beat Aubrey.
I'm not even considering Ty because I think the girls are going to get rid of Ty. So I'm saying I'm going to go with Aubrey.
Aubrey, and who does she beat?
She's going to beat Michelle.
Mm. Whatever.
Yeah. All right. So Aubrey over Michelle. That's your winner pick coming.
Wasn't that Nicole's winner pick as well?
No, she had Debbie.
Oh, she had Debbie. She had the bathing suit. Okay.
Damn, Debbie.
Yeah, that's what she said when Debbie got voted off. All right. So then what will you do for the finale? Do you do anything special?
Well, I think for the last one, I went to Eliza's house in New York.
Oh, wow. You went all the way to New York for the Survivor finale?
I did because, you know, Eliza has those epic Survivor finales. You say like New York is like Vancouver.
Yeah.
It's not that far. But I think I'll probably just be in Philly and I'll probably invite some of my friends over and we'll watch and see what happens. Or I might go to Burns in New Jersey.
Oh, for Jervis?
For Jervis and check it out with my bro Jervis.
Does Jervis do like a big Survivor viewing?
So I saw that he has done a couple Survivor viewings, but I don't think so. So maybe that's something me and Jervis can work on next season at Burns. But we don't have enough like people in the area. It's just me. It's like literally Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love for Survivor. Because it's me, Russ, and Jervis, the brothers.
Yeah, that Boston looks like they really have their act together. They've got a viewing party every week.
They be popping it. Rodney gets it done, okay?
Yeah. All right. Well, we will see what happens. Bryce, I am so happy whenever you come on and talk to me. You could talk about the phone book for all I care. Always, always a pleasure to get to talk to you. And I just want to let you know how much I appreciate any time you come on with me.
Thank you so much, Rob. But I think this is like from our pre-conversation. So I appreciate that very much dearly. And hopefully I'll be asked to come back for voicemails next season.
Yes, yes. Anytime you want. And I hope we don't have to wait too long. If there's anything you want to talk about over the summer.
But you don't watch Power. I think that you should watch Power.
I don't even know what Power is.
A TV show on Stars.
Yeah.
With 50 Cent. But it's a really good show, Power. I'm sure some of the listeners watch it. And then there's another great show that just went off. But have you heard of Underground on YGN, the series Underground?
I never even heard of YGN.
Oh my God, neither did I. I did have to look it up, but they did have it. And sidebar to the sidebar before we end it. Did you watch Oz, the show Oz, Rob?
I wasn't a regular viewer of it.
Okay. So I just recently, because I had this like theory where I need to watch a show that has more than 6 series constantly in my life. And so I had to pick between that and like The Walking Dead because I want to start The Walking Dead over. So I'm currently watching Oz now. I started it like last week and I'm like, I don't know how I feel about it yet. But
it's heavy.
I want to get into it.
Seems like it's going to bum me out, Oz. I want something that's going to bring me up.
But I mean, so I'll keep you posted on that. But yes, definitely. Well, I'm not too far, so we can always do something. But if not, you know, I'll always be available for voicemails if I'll be watching Survivor next season. Okay, but
We'll keep our fingers crossed, and you know, whatever other TV you want to talk about, you let me know, and we'll do something. Anyway, you could follow the great Bryce Isaiah on Twitter. Do you want people to unfollow Mark the Chicken if they're following him?
Listen, if I go through the mentions and somebody's following me, that's following Mark the Chicken, block. So I be clear now, and I am petty. Okay.
I am too. So I understand that. I understand where you're coming from.
Yes.
All right. Well, great stuff, Bryce. Thank you so much. And we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, Rob.
All right, everybody. There you have it. Last voicemail show of the regular season. Josh Wigler and I will get together the day after the regular season ends to recap the finale and talk about things and answer your voicemail as well. But this was the last weekly regular scheduled voicemail show. And Bryce always brings it. Great job again by Bryce. All right. So, of course, the Wiggle Room and why Joe lost is still coming later on this week. Of course, why Joe did not get voted out, but we will talk about where his game was headed according to David Bloomberg's rules. And then we'll also set up the finale in that show. All right. Also want to thank, as we're closing into the end of the season, the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast, because over these last 2.5 months, you know, maybe 3 months at this point, had a great time talking about this season. I mean, between all of the weekly shows that we've done, and if you factor in the preseason stuff too, and the extra podcasts along the way, conservatively, we've done at least 85 hours of podcasting about this season. And maybe we might have even gotten to three-digit, over 100 hours of podcasting this season. And I could not have done that without the support of the patrons of RHAP. So I just really want to quickly thank all of you guys for making all of this nonsense possible.
It sounds like a bunch of malarkey to me.
It definitely was. That you are right about that, Michelle. So thank you again. And so if you want to find out more about the benefits of becoming a patron, you can go to robisawebsite.com/patron or click on the banners in the sidebar of robisawebsite.com. And then finally, don't miss out on any of our finale coverage of Big Brother Canada and The Amazing Race. Big Brother Canada 4 finale will be over by the time you guys are listening to this, but we're going to have our coverage with Jordan Parhar on the reality TV wrap-ups, which is going to be live after the episode, which will be archived by the time you hear this. My coverage will kick off 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Friday. Then we will get into finale coverage of The Amazing Race 28 coming up on Friday night at 9:15 p.m. Eastern, 6:15 p.m. Pacific. And then we'll have our interviews with the final three Amazing Race contestants early next week. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say on robsawebsite.com. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
It's too hot and I'm old. Spell immunity. I don't know, I want reward, 'cause I've thrown balls underhand like coach. I'm slipping into the sauna, and I eat all the food 'cause I wanna. I feel like I'm about to drop an iguana, 'cause I'm blowing up Ari's game on Survivor. Come at me, Bruce Kinnegar. Even got naked Shane Powers in the back of my medevac. I'll holla out.